You have given them bread from heaven, having within it all sweetness. Probably recognize that, right? Where you recognize it from is when we do Eucharistic adoration, which we've been doing once a month here at the cathedral for the last several months. We usually do it towards the end of adoration during benediction. It's a call and response where the priest will say, "You've given them bread from heaven." Then everyone responds, "Having within it all sweetness." And it's usually chanted like that. And the church places that in the Eucharistic adoration liturgy because she wants to remind us of who is on the altar. She wants to remind us that Jesus, who is the true bread from heaven, is whom we are adoring. And Jesus continues to clarify this as we continue to walk through the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. This chapter of the Gospel of John is known as the Bread of Life discourse, and it's where Jesus proclaims the teaching that unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you will not have life within you. And he's been telling the crowds about this teaching. And Jesus points to the fact in this particular, in the beginning of this gospel for today, that their ancestors ate manna, bread, that was given to them by God in the desert, that did fall from heaven. But that bread that they ate was just bread. It saved them physically while they were walking in the desert, but it was not able to sustain them, to save them for eternal life. Only Jesus has the power to do that, because he is true God and true man. Only his flesh is the flesh that can be eaten for the life of the world. Yet, despite the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and he's proclaiming this teaching with authority, there's still skepticism among people that are hearing this. At the beginning of the gospel, there's murmurings among the Jews that are listening to this. They're grumbling. In a way, this is harking back to when they were grumbling in the desert, and it's one of the reasons that the bread came down from heaven to save them in the first place. But the grumbling here is different, because they can't believe that this man that they're seeing, that Jesus, who they know who his parents are, they know that he comes from Mary and Joseph, they don't believe that he could possibly be the bread from heaven that he's talking about. They're like, really? That guy? He's the bread from heaven? Really? But Jesus points to the Father. He says that he came to do the Father's will, and only the Father can draw someone to Jesus and grant them that faith that they need to be able to believe this difficult teaching. And we even see in our own day that there are many Catholics, surveys have shown, that don't believe in the real presence in the Most Holy Eucharist. There has to be an act of faith that has to take place in order to really believe and understand that. The teaching is that Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever. It's really a beautiful and fascinating teaching, the source and summit of our faith. To put it another way, we have a heavenly help from the Holy Eucharist. We have a heavenly help from the Holy Eucharist. Before I dive too more deeply into that, I want to draw just another connection. So, one thing you probably noticed is that if you ever walk into almost any Catholic church, you'll notice that there are saint statues that are around, or stained glass windows with images of saints. And you've probably been asked by your non-Catholic friends about why this is the case. Here at the cathedral, we have this very beautiful ambulatory walkway that is behind all of you that has different images of saints that were chosen for different reasons. We have St. Therese of Lisieux over there. We have St. Maria Goretti over there in that corner. There's different panels with different saints back over in that corner. And some of them were chosen. St. Maria Goretti is the patron saint of youth, so she prays for youth. St. Isidore and Maria, for example, are back over there, and they're the patron saint of farmers, so they pray for farmers. And all the saints back over there represent the different religious orders that came to the Diocese of Dodge City, or at least in Western Kansas, at some point. But one of the other reasons that these images are there and the reason that they're surrounding us is because it's supposed to remind us about another important aspect of the Holy Mass that we attend, which is that the saints in heaven are worshiping along with us in the heavenly liturgy, just as we celebrate the liturgy here on earth. The point is that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is where heaven and earth meet. It's where the church militant, which is us here on earth, and the church triumphant in heaven worship together. We also pray for the church in purgatory as well when we offer masses. So the point is that the Holy Mass is not just a place where we come every week to gather together and to sing songs, although we certainly do that, but we are worshiping together with all the saints in heaven. It's one of the reasons that before we sing the Holy, Holy, Holy in the preface, right before that the priest says, with all the angels and archangels, with all the thrones and dominions, with all the hosts and powers of heaven. It's declaring that we are what we are participating in. That we are celebrating along with the angels and saints in heaven as we celebrate the most holy Eucharist. We are offering our prayers, our needs up to God in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so there's a transcendent aspect about the Mass. That what we do here unites us with those in heaven. In fact, it actually provides a foretaste of heaven for us. God calls us, in a sense, to Holy Mass. And one of the ways that we enter into Holy Mass is it shows us a holy rest. What do I mean by that? Now, some of you may be like, oh, Father, it's not all that restful to me, especially if you're a mom who's got to wrangle kids during Mass. But heaven really will be a place of rest for us. It'll be a place where we see God face to face in the beatific vision, a place where we will have our peace. Even if, now we only see pieces of that here on earth, we may enter glimpses of it in our prayer life, but really in heaven, that's where we'll encounter the peace of God. And the Holy Mass gives us a foretaste of that, to be able to come and rest with the Lord, to really be with him. Rest is all about having our being and recognizing our dignity as sons and daughters of God. And worship, and the worship of God allows us to enter into that more deeply. And so when we come to Mass, we can find some of that here, that foretaste of the heavenly liturgy that we'll experience. So the Mass, it's the place where heaven and earth meet. It's the place where we experience and encounter God in the sacred liturgy. And so this means that we should think about how we approach Mass. We've heard some beautiful homilies about reverence the last couple weeks. And I might add that we just need to think about, just in a broad sense, how do we approach Sunday Mass in our minds? Is it just an obligation that we check off the list every week just to get it out of the way? Or do we approach it with the dignity and reverence that it deserves? That it's really the place where heaven and earth meet. It's the place where we encounter God. Do we dress appropriately to be able to enter into that place where we encounter God? Do we arrive on time to be able to give ourselves enough time to be able to prepare ourselves to celebrate Mass? Even when we leave, do we just see Mass as with a consumerist mentality that I just take Holy Communion and then we leave? Now, there are, of course, extenuating circumstances for all of these different things that I've mentioned, but I just invite you to think about how the Lord might be inviting you to offer more reverence in approaching the sacred liturgy. Because the external that we do will inform our interior sense of reverence. So it's important for us to think about how we can make Mass a more beautiful experience for ourselves. And priests have to do this too. We have to think about how we celebrate Mass with reverence, how we take care to be able to celebrate the most holy Eucharist in the most reverent way possible. So all of us have to grow in this area and constantly be praying and thinking about that. Now, Holy Mass, in receiving the bread from heaven, the life of the world, as I mentioned, is a heavenly help for us. Just as Elijah's strength in our first reading was spent, he felt like he couldn't go on. He'd been doing lots of different things. That's when God provides for a broom tree for him to be able to sit under to rest, along with a jug of water and a hearth cake. The Lord tells him, get up and eat, because else the journey will be too long for you. Elijah hears this, he listens, he does it, and he's strengthened by it. And so too, we are also strengthened by the Holy Eucharist. It's considered our food for the journey. Now, we hear that phrase a lot sometimes, food for the journey. What does that mean exactly? What exactly are we being strengthened to do when we receive the Holy Eucharist? Well, the Holy Eucharist is our union with Christ. When we receive the body and blood of our Lord, that's Jesus really dwelling within us. He strengthens our charity, our love. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, and I think we can probably see this in our daily lives, that our charity can go up and down with the daily struggles of life, the weekly struggles of life. It can be hard to love others. And so the Eucharist provides that strength that we so desperately need. It provides that charity in our heart that we need to be able to love others just as Christ loved us. It also cleanses us of our venial sins and forgives and breaks apart our attachments that we can have to sin, and incorporates us and draws us closer to our fellow baptized brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the tricky part is that we don't see that necessarily. Just like we don't see the angels and saints physically celebrating Mass with us here. It's a little like when you exercise or when you eat a healthy diet, you may not see the benefits right away, but you trust that it's working. You couldn't get healthy without it. And so in the same way, we get healthy spiritually, or we survive for the journey from this transition from this life into the next life by receiving the most holy Eucharist. We need it. It's something that will sustain us for that journey. So the Holy Eucharist, it gives us the right worship to God with all the heavenly hosts in heaven, and gives us strength for the spiritual journey, that heavenly help that we need. That's Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, the bread that came down from heaven. You have given them bread from heaven, having within it all sweetness.